Third and fourth for the Eagles here. Murphy and shotgun. Here's the snap. He rolls left. He throws.
That ball is hit hard into left field. Going back, and that is gone. A home run for Joe Cronin. That punch is blocked. BC special teams is a huge play. The ball is recovered and brought into the end zone. Touchdown. Top scores. Eagles win.
And this is WZBC Sports.
Welcome to season two of the WZBC Sports Podcast. Our first year with this new venture was successful and fun. We opened the series up with John Kincaid of CBS Sports Radio, and John joins us again to kick off season two. As I said last year, John Kincaid is the co-host of the Buck and Kincaid Show on 680 The Fan in Atlanta, the longest running sports show in the history of Atlanta. He is also the host of the John Kincaid Show on CBS Sports Radio, 6 to 10 a.m. Sunday mornings, and the co-host of the very popular The Big Podcast with Shaq on Podcast One. As I said last year, he's one of the finest voices in sports radio. So, John, thank you for taking the time to talk the ACC and some college football with me and WZBC Sports.
I'm glad to be with you, and I got to say that my agent demanded that I be on the first edition of the podcast for the year. So I'm glad you were able to come to terms.
Yes.
I wanted first word on this season before it got started.
Yes, well, we're happy to have you, and it's going to be a fun conversation. So, John, I know you're gearing up for a big NFL season, but also college football season, and
sure,
we're going to kind of dive right into where it kind of ended last year. We talked about in last year's podcast the ACC versus the SEC, and kind of was the ACC climbing the ranks in comparison to the SEC. Clemson goes on and wins the national championship. So if we start in the ACC, the coaches poll was released a couple weeks ago. AP poll was released, I believe, yesterday. Five teams in the top 25, highlighted by Florida State at number three. I like the Seminoles. I think they're a pretty good team, especially with DeAndre Francois, who I think is looking like a pretty good player. In your opinion, is Florida State the best team in the ACC, and are they the most likely team to head to the college football playoff?
I don't think there's any question they're the best team in the ACC, but it is revisiting our earlier conversation from last year where that conference has taken a huge step forward. And Mark Richt and Jimbo Fisher and Dabo Sweeney all have said during this year at ACC Media Days, they all came out and said the ACC is the best conference in college football. And if you're just talking on a one-year basis, they got every right to brag. They have the results on their side. I mean, you've got a national championship in Clemson. You got a team that's always knocking on the door in Florida State. You got a rising star in Miami, in that mix. So they got every right to be proud of themselves. And Georgia Tech always, Georgia Tech can dial up a 9-10 win season anytime they like, it seems. So you never know what to expect out of the ACC. And with only one SEC team in the top 12, that pretty much top 10, I should say, only one SEC team, it seems like bizarro world. That's very opposite what we've seen for almost two decades.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not ready to sit here and say that, the ACC is the conference for the next 20 years, but it's certainly a new wave. There's a lot of good teams in there. And as you said, I mean, these coaches are saying that this is the best conference in college football. And they may be bold words, but they're words that they can back up. And if they have another successful season,
and they've been doing it with wins and losses. I mean, and this is the big thing. Is it? But what the ACC though gets is that early challenge, because they got right off the bat, we're going to find out, can Clemson with a new quarterback, can they go out there and find a way to beat Auburn? Can Florida State beat Alabama? Can you imagine how the college football world will be shaken if by some way Auburn and Alabama lose in those big cross-sectional matchups? Then I think the ACC will say, hey, we're not only the best conference, but we're a conference that's going to have some staying power, because then they'll be feeling really good about themselves.
Yeah, I mean, every week means something huge in college football, and it's certainly a dynamic first week. John, you mentioned that Florida State-Alabama season opener, obviously in your backyard at the new Mercedes-Benz Stadium. What do you think about the game? Are you going to be there? And as you see it now, who might come out on top? How good of a game could that be?
Well, it depends on. I've been warned enough, by the way, it'll be awesome. To be in that building is going to be spectacular, and it has already. It's a tremendous facility. It's going to host the national championship game this year. So really, you got a 1-3 matchup to start the year. And I don't think it would shock anybody. I don't think it'd be shocking if at the end of the year you somehow saw a rematch of that game. Yeah. If that ended up being the game that ends up after a college football playoff with Florida State and Alabama. Here's one thing I'll give you. A lot of wise college football people in the South have told me that there's one way Florida State can win this game. And that's the way they can get after the quarterback. That they can come in some waves and they've got some bodies that they can throw at the opposing quarterback with that pass rush. The Alabama offensive line. There are those who are questioning whether they are up to the challenge, especially pass blocking, early on in the season. So the question is, does Jimbo Fisher dial it up? Does he take some risks? Does he roll the dice a bit and be very aggressive against Alabama? Because the only problem is, well, you're very aggressive. It's high risk, high reward. And then you can get Jalen Hurts could either beat you with his feet because you've been over-aggressive, or, you know, he's shown this spring, he's shown a better ability to throw the football. Now, he's thrown it in practice, so we don't know how that's going to translate to games. But I think the only way Florida State is coming off the field victorious is if they have an aggressive defensive game plan. And I just wonder whether they're going to have the guts to dial up a plan like that.
Yeah, I mean, it's a high risk, high reward. Obviously, right. one loss can mean a lot, even to an Alabama-like team. But I tend to agree with you. I think Alabama, as they always are, has retooled. They're going to be very strong again. Jalen Hurts sounds like he's improved a lot. And they've been beaten up on the SEC. So if they can kind of get through week one, you got to imagine, even with a loss, that they're looking at a team that's probably the easiest to bet on to be in that Final Four at the end of the year.
Here's the one thing I'd warn you about. And maybe it's because of the fact, you're starting out in this business, and I've been around it for a long time. I would challenge you. Tell me the major program in America where the coaches come out and said, our guys look like crap compared to last year. Our guys really, they don't know their heads from a hole in the ground. These guys, they're not working hard. There tends to be happy talk that comes out of the spring, especially. And then even in summer camp, there tends to be a lot of happy talk about where guys are and everything. Those first few games, especially when you play legitimate opponents, we'll know after three games what teams are and what teams aren't. Paul Johnson of Georgia Tech always advocates, and I agree with him, the first poll in college football should come out after your third game. And because that's when you'd get a much more legitimate ranking of who should be the top 25 and who shouldn't.
Yeah, very true. I mean, look, you and I liked Notre Dame last year. They came in, I think, preseason number 10, went 4-8.
Look,
you know?
What happened?
So,
4-8.
Yeah.
And they're getting ready for Georgia, second week of the year. And believe me, everybody down here is losing their minds about Notre Dame. And Georgia fans, I think they're caught up in the historic nature of going up to Notre Dame. But for Kirby Smart, that's a game they got to have.
Yeah.
They got to go up there and they got to win in week two. They got to App State week one. And what they saw last year is Tennessee almost got beaten at home. They had to go to overtime to beat App State. So you can't take any of that for granted.
No, you can't. And I'm hoping that Georgia plays pretty well in that week too, because the next week Notre Dame flies to Chestnut Hill to take on BC. We'll get to BC, but I wouldn't mind seeing an entire Notre Dame team come into our building. But before we get to BC, I want to talk a little bit more about the ACC. Are there any teams that stand out to you in the ACC that people may be overlooking? I've heard of some people like NC State, others like Miami. Do you like either of those two teams, or is there someone else that might pop out, maybe a Georgia Tech? What do you think about anyone else in the ACC?
On my part slightly, but to me, I'm not going to buy into Miami. And the reason I'm not going to buy into Miami, other than the fact that they have a really easy schedule, and they may end up a 10-2 team. They may end up 10 wins, 2 losses. They could even end up 11-1. But I refuse to buy in, mainly because of the fact that I got burned way too many times when Mark Richt was favored to do big things and then his team underachieved. They can be an 11-1 team. If you think about it, their only, crazy matchup that really, really hard is the third week of the season at Florida State. And they're going to play at Doak Campbell on a Saturday night. Other than that, I mean, they're on the road at Duke. They're on the road at North Carolina. They've got home games with Notre Dame. They got home game with Virginia Tech. They got home game with Virginia. So their schedule is not that scary. Miami could be the most just really overrated 11-1 team we've ever heard, because I do not think they're beating Florida State. NC State, North Carolina, I'm going to hear all these stories. The story of the ACC is going to be written by Florida State. It's going to be written by Clemson. It's going to be written by Miami. They're going to be the teams that most likely, you know, finish and write that story about how great a year it's going to be for the conference.
Sure.
And Louisville, I don't want to underestimate Louisville with a Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback. But again, with Louisville, something about last year seemed like empty calories to me. That it seemed like fast food, and I use that analogy sometimes before, where you're excited by what you saw, but you're not satisfied with the result. My guess would be is that Louisville this year is not winning against Clemson, not winning against Florida State. And to me, all that would prove is that they are a very, very good team, but they're not ready to play with the nation's elite. I think Louisville, though, will end up proving what they showed last year. They're a very good football program, but they are still not ready to sit at the big boy table with the nation's elite.
Yeah, there's something about kind of how they ended last year. They're on that downward slide, and you're right. There was a little bit of an emptiness to that. Although there were some good games, they played Clemson really well. I'd have to agree with you on that one, but we'll have to see about Miami. The ACC Coastal, it just has a lot to prove when you compare it to the ACC Atlantic, just because you have the Clemson and Florida State, and they've played so well over these last 5, 6, 7 years. But Miami's certainly a team, as you said, the schedule's something to keep an eye on.
And when they set up the ACC, by the way, divisions, they set it up thinking that they would have a Florida State-Miami matchup every single year. Like, that would be the standard matchup. And they've never gotten it. They've never gotten it. In all the years, they've never gotten that matchup. This might be the year we actually see it.
Yeah, it could be fun. More specifically look at the ACC, obviously this is a BC podcast. Talk just a little bit about BC. You may know that BC has a player who many consider to be one of the 10 or 15 best players in the nation, defensive end Harold Landry. Defense looks solid again. Offense is still up in the air, what we may see, but maybe some more playmakers this year. That being said, it's a tough schedule. The ACC Atlantic is always hard, and we also have Notre Dame and Central Michigan in the non-conference. From what you know about BC, do you think they could maybe match 6 wins from last year, maybe get 7, or do you just see them maybe going under 500 again in the ACC, even if, you know, they're playing Virginia Tech and Virginia in the Coastal Division? But from what you know about them, could you see about the same from last year? Because the schedule's definitely harder.
I think it matters about, you know, vitamin A and Coach Adazio. I think it matters about is his junior class ready to carry him? Because honestly, the seniors on that roster, I mean, are there 10, maybe?
Not many.
10 seniors that are even on that roster?
Yeah.
Is his junior class ready to lead? And I always have this thing where I look at sophomores to junior year, and that, to me, I almost look at the junior year as the most important year of college. Because if you're a really, really exceptional college player, you don't play a senior year anymore. You go to the NFL. You very, very rarely do you stick around and play that fourth year. So to me, there's very few seniors there on the roster. I see a lot of freshmen and sophomores, you know, as far as a team. I know this, is that defensively, they can keep themselves in games. But last year, that offense, to me, it was mind-boggling, because obviously I'm a Temple guy, and I wasn't thrilled with Adazio's tenure at Temple. But I saw too many games last year where I would look at the scoreboard and go, "What's Boston College putting up? They're putting up a 7 here, a 3 here, a 10 here, a 7 here, a 7 here, getting shut." You know, I'm like, "Where's the offense?" And to me, unless that offense takes huge strides forward, and I mean huge, the defense, I don't believe, will be enough to carry them. And I honestly would not expect that they would be a team that would go bowling this year. I think they're going to be just on the outside looking in.
Yeah, John, I mean, that's kind of what a lot of people seem to think. It's what a lot of people have said on the outside. Yeah, and, you know, it's tough because you're right, that offense, and people blame that on the play calling. They blame that on Steve Adazio. It kind of comes back to him. And I'll tell you,
come back to him. He's the one who's responsible for it. It better come back to him. him.
Sure, yeah.
And, you know, he's got a lot to prove to me. He's got a lot to prove to me. I always wanted to see more when he was Temple's coach, and I'm still waiting. The questions I had about Adazio then are still some of the questions I have now. I've never seen him put, as a head coach, two good units together in the same year. I've seen him put a good defense together. I've seen him put a good offense together. But I've never seen him put two good units on the field in the same exact year. And to me, that's sort of unacceptable.
I agree. And this is a huge season. BC has a new athletic director. And if we see another season of 3 points and 7 points per game...
You can't sell it.
Yeah. I mean, you can't imagine a way where his job is not in serious jeopardy if he's doing something like that.
And I also don't understand why... You're trying to get recruits. Offense sells to recruits. Defense is awesome. It's great to play defense. But the idea needs to be you have to have something sexy to sell. You have to have something about your program that is the signature of the program. And you better be competent on offense. And if you're not, it just makes for an almost unwatchable product. And look, BC is never going to be a program that is going to be sold on, like, attendance figures and things like that. But you got to do better than you're doing.
I agree. And that kind of leads into a point that I really want to get your thoughts on. As I mentioned, BC has a new athletic director hired in the spring. Guy's name is Martin Jarman. He's a former deputy athletic director at Ohio State. Many people are pretty excited about the spark he brings and the changes he could make. So my question is, what do you think about the athletic director job at a school like BC and also of the challenges that he will face?
Well, he's going to face a lot of challenges. As funny as his brother... works out at my gym in Atlanta.
Really?
So it's just strange.
Okay.
I saw him in some BC gear one day, and I kept talking about it. They got somebody to take that job that a lot of people feel is a real up and comer in the business.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, that's impressive. But if I'm Steve Adazio, I'm looking over my shoulder, because what about Steve Adazio to you speaks young? Invigorating to a program, groundbreaking, different. I'm sorry, I haven't seen that from Steve Adazio yet in his career. Could this be the year he delivers it? Absolutely. I don't want to sell him short. But nothing about his career so far has shown me this guy's a trendsetter. This guy's setting the tone. This guy is, going to get everybody inspired. I'm not buying it. Not yet. And I think for his boss, he's probably got this year to show him.
Yeah. In both football and other programs such as basketball, he's got a lot of decisions to make. But you're right. He seems to kind of be an up and comer in the business. And look, even if he has six, seven really solid years at BC and parlays that into a bigger job, I'm okay with that if we can kind of turn the direction around and get things back on track.
Absolutely. Got to turn it around. Get it back on track, and then, it just is one of those things. It's not a job. I don't think that BC, honestly, right now is a destination job for anybody as a head coach, college football, college basketball, athletic director either. So you have to accept what it is. You have to accept the job for what it is, and you got to hope that you're giving young candidates an opportunity to prove themselves, and that you can attract top candidates that will want to stay there, spend some time, and then when they're ready to move on, you thank them for their time and say, "Wow, we were lucky to have that guy on his way up the ladder."
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. And if that turns into a couple good years and a good train from there, I'm happy with it.
You'll take it.
So, John. So as we kind of look at the broader landscape of college football, I want to talk about some other teams that are, in the AP rankings. People, as I said, again, like Alabama, Ohio State, they're number two in both polls. Any chance that other teams in the SEC or Big Ten could come out of there? And if so, who might they be?
Auburn could be that team. The only thing that holds me back on that is the fact that Auburn has to find a way to get by Alabama. To play in the SEC title game, which I don't think is going to be an easy task.
Mm-hmm.
So Auburn could be one of those teams. I think whoever wins the SEC East, Georgia or Florida, and I'm only giving you two options there, it will be Georgia or it will be Florida.
Okay.
I don't believe either one of those teams, though, will be in the mix for a national championship. Sure, they will play in a national championship quarterfinal game, because the SEC championship game would be their chance to shock the world, maybe beat Alabama and play their way in. But I don't see it being a situation where there's really any of those SEC teams that is going to play their way into that mix. To me, I really believe it's going to be Alabama or it's going to be bust, but Auburn would be the team that would be my first guess.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Auburn. I mean, that's
Jared Stidham. Everyone will know his name by the time October comes. They may not know his name now. They'll know his name by the time October comes, and he will be a player that will have tongues wagging across the nation. They finally got some quarterback play that can helpfully drive the Gus bus for those fans of the Auburn Tigers.
Okay, team to look out for, certainly one that has had history, so we'll see what they can do this year. Obviously, Penn State finished the season pretty well last year, even with that Rose Bowl loss to USC. You and I both are from Pennsylvania, so we know about all the hype that surrounds that team. Are they a bit overrated, or do you like Penn State this year?
I like Penn State. Don't love them. I mean, am I supposed to believe that James Franklin, who is 3-15 in his coaching career against ranked opponents, Am I supposed to believe now that James Franklin is he's going to go out there and be a world beater? Again, I just won't make that prediction first. I'll wait till he proves to me that he can do that, that he's up to that challenge. I think he's done a nice job of that program. I think Bill O'Brien left them in a nice position, though. I think he had a nice foundation to build off of. He's a smart guy. He's a Pennsylvania guy, Delaware County guy, in fact, that understands, you know, what the job means, and so I appreciate that about him. But I'm gonna dial down the Penn State hype just a little until, again, show me something, and don't just show me last year's Rose Bowl highlights. I need more than that.
I agree. Is John Harbaugh building something special at Michigan? Do you think they put it together this year?
Jim Harbaugh. I'm a Harbaugh believer. Because I enjoy the color that he brings to college football and that he brought to the NFL for that matter. I'm a fan, but I don't know. I think this is going. I don't want to say a rebuilding year for Michigan, but I don't think this is a year where they are. Where we're going to be talking about them in any way, shape, or form competing for a national championship.
Yeah. It sounds like Ohio State's really strong this year, and
Ohio State, Penn State. Maybe we end up talking about Wisconsin later in the year. Mm-hmm. Maybe. But other than that, I don't believe it's going to be that's what we'll be discussing.
Okay, well, that leads me kind of into my final question. I put you on the spot last year. I'm going to do it again. Sure. Who are your four teams in college football playoff? And I'm going to – one more part of that question. Who is the first team out of the top four? If you had to put it right now.
Let me give you who's in. And I think that Oklahoma will be out. That Oklahoma, I would believe, would be my first team out, because once again, much like what I talked about before, is that people are all high on Oklahoma State and think that they're going to be there. Again, when Oklahoma State finally accomplishes something, please call me. Give me a call. You know, yep. You're a college kid now; you can afford it. Call Uncle John and tell me, because every year I hear about it's going to be Oklahoma State's year. This is the year. So Oklahoma, I think the Big 12 will be the conference that is left sitting at home. They will not be in the mix. They will not be a part of the national championship. So that's my one vote there. I would tell you that the Alabama Crimson Tide will be in. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that Florida State, again, will be in. And they will purposely, I believe this will be the call, they will separate Florida State and Alabama. And by making them play in the semi, if no matter what happens, they will make sure that they either the 2-3 game or the 1-4 game. They will make sure that the national championship game is not a replay. So Alabama and Florida State will be there. Ohio State is going to be there. And I know that a lot of people are big on Penn State. Yes, I appreciate it. USC will be there. That will be your Final Four. It's boring. It's chalk, but I really believe, looking at the world of college football, this looks like the most, you know, favorites, chalk-driven college football season that I've ever seen.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, with USC retooling and Ohio State and Alabama being like they always are, Very interesting point, though, about them separating Alabama and Florida State. That's probably true.
I will tell you right now. Uncle John tells you right now, write it down. They will never allow the national championship game to be a rematch of Florida State and Alabama. They will never allow it. It's going to be one or the other. They played in the inaugural game. They play in the inaugural game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. If they meet again, it will be in the national semifinal. They will make sure that it's not in the championship.
Okay. All right. There we have it. So Alabama, Florida State, Ohio State, and USC, and it will not be Florida State and Alabama in the national championship.
Correct. It will not be Florida State, Alabama meeting in the national championship. Okay. They will never allow that to happen.
Yeah. Well, either way, I mean, you're right. They're teams that have been there for a long time, but it could be fun. Could be fun with, you know, four real powerhouse teams. Cool to see USC coming back too.
Oh yeah. Sign me up for it.
Yeah. Yeah. It could be a lot of fun. Well, John, appreciate the insight as always. Great outlook down there from Atlanta. Have fun at that Florida State Alabama game. That's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm sure
that'd be awesome. And I hope you have fun in your. This is the senior year. Right?
Yeah, senior year. Yeah, so big year for the club.
This is gonna be it. So I mean, that's good news, and good luck with that. And hopefully, you're talking about some really positive storylines. Hopefully, you have some surprise storylines that get everybody fired up this year.
I hope so too, John. So. Thanks, John, for joining us on the first episode of Season 2 of the WZBC Sports Podcast. Not a bad way to kick off the first two seasons of the WZBC Sports Podcast with a guy like John Kincaid. We will see you next time on the WZBC Sports Podcast.
Santini, make a nice little pass over to Sanford. Sanford gives it to Tuck. Tuck with a shot. Oh! Tuck scores! Eagles win! The Eagles have won the 2016 Seed Hunt Championship!
Catch all the excitement of Boston College Athletics right here on WZBC Newton 90.3 FM. As BC's only student radio broadcasting organization, WZBC Sports brings a different viewpoint of college athletics to the table. Our student commentators know the campus, student-athlete culture, and latest beat on the teams like no other media outlet, thanks to our dedicated coverage of Boston College sports. Check out our broadcast or weekly talk show schedules at www.wzbcsports.com and get a refreshing take on sporting events at the Heights and beyond.